Hi, we made it backstage, just starting to rain, but it is Crop Property, it is 2017, and I am with the lovely fella, Chris Leslie, the new boy of Fairport.
Absolutely.
And Darren Beach.
Hi, hello.
There's something going on. What is this? It's some birthday or something?
It's got unbelievably 50 years ago this year that the band, this venerable institution, started in London, in that there London.
Yeah, in that little house called Fairport.
Yeah, the house called Fairport. Still there, Muswell Hill. Still can be seen.
50 years. I mean, Notre Dame wouldn't have even thought that, would he?
Now, have you read it?
You see,
thank you. See, someone's read my programme notes. I'm very pleased.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's one of those things you kind of almost couldn't write it, could you?
It's outrageous, isn't it? Yeah, 50 years. I mean, for you, I suppose, obviously, you wasn't born because you're so young. When they first started, was it?
Take this £5 note. It's incredible, really, because you just think of... I think what's lovely about it is that there are people who have followed the band since those days.
Yeah.
You know, and they're still with the band, still coming to gigs, having been out maybe to have kids, and then they've come back with their kids. And there are other people that pick up on the band along the history right through to the present day.
Yeah,
and it's a lovely thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
I think Chris gets a bit of bad press about not being in the band very long, but, you know, people don't realise that he was actually here at Crop Property in 86, 87. Playing with Whippersnapper with Mr. Dave Swinbrick.
In fact, I have done probably about 33 or 34 of the Crop Properties in some vein.
Yeah.
In some way, I managed to get myself on that stage.
And wasn't you there that year Rick cut his hand?
I was.
And you had to go in last minute and do the fiddle playing as well.
That was a strange year. Because I'd always wanted to play with the band, always wanted to be part of it, but not under those circumstances. It was a bit like being in the dead person's shoes, you know. It was only when we knew that Rick was going to be all right, very close to the festival, the surgeon and said it's all going to work again, it's just time, it just needs healing, and then I could lighten up and enjoy it a bit. But when he was there with his arm bandaged and not knowing if he'd play again, you know, that was awful. That was not
Well, Rick said in the programme this year, obviously following Dave Swarbrick's shoes, you know, for the classic lineup tonight, you know, we're all thinking that you're going to step up to the plate and play fiddle. Are you for that?
I'm doing my best. I mean, my the way I've tried to think about it really is, and I grew up listening to Swarb, like many fiddle players, and I was completely knocked over by his groove and his swing, that's in my playing. That element of that, the influence is definitely there in my playing. I know that, and that's a thing I'm very proud of. It's something that I've you know, you develop into your own style, but you bring along with it all that stuff that's influenced you.
I would go so far to say that you've actually taken some of the soul. You know,
it's so
close. You know,
I was lucky enough to be in a band with him for 5 years and play that closely with him and rehearse with him and all those things that you do when you're in a band closely. And so tomorrow night I'm going to try and my aim is to just bring his presence back. It's not about me, it's not about my playing, it's about bringing his presence back to those tracks, because that's what people want to hear.
I think his presence is always with you.
He's always in my heart.
He's always
in my heart.
I feel him all around all the time. Yeah. And your vocal range is very similar as well.
It is.
We're lucky there as well, really.
It's one of those happy juxtapositions. When I joined the band, you know, they said, well, what can we, you know, we've got the current one, what can we bring back from the past? And then we looked at things like, oh, Hex and Sheer Lass, Now Be Thankful, all that stuff that just my vocal range kind of fits, the Pat Spence and all that, you know, which was a lovely thing. And it's, you know, I'm just so lucky. But he will be deep in my presence tomorrow night, I'm sure.
Talking about soul, just tell us about how you felt when you did the Union Chapel gig.
Oh, the feeling before we played a note in that room was incredible. You could feel just, you know, it sounds like a ghost thing to say, but you could really just feel love. You could feel the love in the room.
There was a lot of love
for the band and its history, you know, and I think it's not just all about the band. It's about people who have been with the band that long, music, I know for myself, music travels with you, and it reminds you of happy times, it reminds you of sad times, it can remind you of people that you've lost, it can remind you of all kinds of parts of your life. And that's a really... it's a beautiful and interesting thing, I think, and I think the band represents that for so many people. You know?
Yeah, because in a way that was quite a good one. I didn't go to that, but I did go to the St George's one, and that was literally a couple of days after he died.
Yes.
And I think everyone was a bit kind of shocked at that one. So I suppose on that one at the Union Chapel, we had a bit of time to get your heads round it, if you like. And, but when we were certainly very muted when we turned up at St George's Festival there.
Yeah.
You know, that was literally just 2 days, I think.
I think, like all those things, I know the bands that I look to and listen to over my lifetime, you become involved with people, even if you don't know them. They're in your life, and you know them large because you spent so much time with them, with their music, you know. I think music has that capacity to really be a canvas on which people see their life.
I mean, there's a lot of old members here. We've got Ian, obviously, Martin Alcock's here as well.
Yes,
so it's going to be a bit... we're just going to go on the same.
Well, that's right, yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a set, isn't it?
It is, it is. I mean, it's lovely that all those people want to come back and be part of it. And, you know, that's a joyous thing in itself. You know, the Fairport family, as it's called. You know, it's there, and it's a very nice thing. I'm personally so grateful that people have taken time and trouble and want to come back and contribute at those great moments that the audience will love, you know.
Yeah. And it's almost like, will there be a guest slot? Because there's so many sort of, it's all about Fairport this year, so.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's definitely the colours of, you know, without revealing too much, or I'd have to kill you both.
Exactly. That's right. We're not going to go that far on the site before.
And you won't hear me say that again in an interview.
You're doing it in a very nice way, though, wouldn't you, Chris?
Oh, it would be very painless. It would be.
He didn't get you a beer first, would
it? It would be all rainbows, peace. That'd
kill me off.
It would be rainbows, peace, and love. Really. No. Yes, I think the very nature of the way the set is guest central, because it's. Yeah. Lots of lovely old faces, not old faces, old, you know, older members, I should say.
Yeah. Okay, well, we haven't got a lot of time, so we've got to whiz through this because we've got our queue waiting up outside to speak to Chris. Tell us about the solo tour, solo work, because obviously you've made two fantastic solo albums now, and you're doing a lot more touring on your own. So.
I'm very excited because I've just taken possession of a Hardanger fiddle. It's a Norwegian fiddle that I've had been in the store for the last 3 years, and I've already written a tune on it. It's a very different kind of beast. It sounds amazing. It sounds quite meditative in its own way.
Yeah.
Quite wild as well.
Yeah.
Got that double thing going on.
Wow.
So I'm going to bring that out in my solo show, and I've just taken delivery today of a mandocello, which I haven't played before, and I love it. It growls on the low end.
Yeah.
So that's going to bring some songs out. And this year I haven't got all that many solo gigs. I usually start touring around sort of October, November time, because the band is full on through all of October, being the 50th year. I've kind of pulled back on the solo gigs, but next year I should be out there, and hopefully I'm looking to make another album as well. So
yeah, I remember last year it was such a moment when Ralph came on stage and he did Barges.
Yes.
And you came up and you were playing the sort of the ending, is it like a low
fantastic
whistle,
fantastic low whistle playing.
I actually did a video clip of it, actually.
Did you?
And if you haven't seen it, check it out.
It's a classic arrangement, that.
Yeah,
classic arrangement.
It was and the sun was setting. It was just absolutely perfect.
Yeah, well, Ralph is just perfect. You know, again, lovely to play with him.
Oh, he's just differently, Ralph. So we'd just like to say thanks a million for actually taking time out and talking to us again.
It's a real pleasure.
It wouldn't be a sort of folkin.com interview coming to Cropperty without actually speaking to you, because obviously we try and catch you every year. So
I love it.
And we're actually on 9:43, which is just so professional. Yeah. I'm getting worried about
that. I expect nothing else from you guys.
Very unprofessional, but there we go. Right, lovely. Thank you very much for talking to us, Chris.
Thanks,
a real pleasure.
Thank you.